This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9's multicultural program. An orange ribbon is the symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism, and international understanding. At Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have comments on the program or to ask questions, you can SMS 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Today with Barb, Mark and Hugh. On today's show, we'll be talking to Colin and John, who are two of the organisers of United We Dance, Robert J. King, who has just finished his third book, and a gay man gets married to a woman and has children. Does it work? That's a big question. As usual, another interesting chat coming here up in Orange Ribbon today, so please stay with us for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. This is Orange Ribbon with Barb and Mark and myself, Hugh. And we've just been listening to Sir Elton John, Porch Swing in Tupelo.
No. Tupelo.
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 Okay, sorry.
Grungy little city in the American state of Mississippi, so down in the south.
Okay. I hadn't a clue where it is, but now you've told us, thank you. Now, let's introduce our two guests. We've got John and Colin. They're from AGMC. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, tell us what AGMC is.
AGMC is the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council.
Right.
And it aims to be basically the peak organisation for individuals and groups that identify as multicultural and GLBTIQ.
Okay. And Colin, what's your part in...
My part is not as involved as John's. I'm just an ordinary member of AGMC, so as opposed to John being on the board.
So how did you get involved as a member?
How did I get involved? Because I'm a member of the Aleph Jewish Gay Group, mm-hmm. Which has an affiliation with AGMC, so that's how I would have got involved originally.
Okay.
So, yes.
So as you got more involved with the umbrella organization, did you withdraw a bit from the Jewish organization?
No, not at all. No.
Do the two work really well together?
They work well together, and I'm very involved with the Aleph organization, mm-hmm. and helping to keep that running. So, not at all.
Yeah. And John, how did you get involved?
Pretty much the same way.
Yep.
I was involved with Creek and Gay, mm-hmm. and when the AGMC started up back in 2003, all the groups were basically invited to come on board to hold a conference, primarily at that stage, multicultural gay and lesbian conference. And that went off so well that out of the conference, basically the organisation was incorporated then and developed from there.
Yeah.
What activities do you actually promote?
The AGMC? Mm. Basically, our role is... to provide information and to hold conferences, forums, attend other conferences that where we feel that the content of the conference may need some multicultural GLBTIQ influence. Mm. Recently we attended, myself and Maria from the committee attended Deakin University, had a social inclusion day. And we presented there with a few others.
Right.
Just to basically get the information out to lecturers and tutors and everything else that, you know, that they've got to deal with students that have issues other than the normal run-of-the-day mill issues that they cross every day. So we're off to Sydney in December to participate in a City of Sydney conference or forum that's being held.
Right. So this is Australia-wide, it's not just Victoria.
Yes. Yeah. We're basically based in Victoria, but we're slowly getting the membership growing in other states. And ideally, one day, we want to be a real national organisation with committees in each state or subcommittees in each state that that can then spread the message.
Right. And where do you get your funding?
We don't.
there's no local government funding.
Well, we rely very heavily on a small grant that we get from the Victorian Multicultural Commission that basically covers our insurance and phone bills and stationery, whatever. As we attend different or try to put on different events, we then apply for funding for those specific events. For example, the City of Sydney thing is fully funded by the City of Sydney.
Okay.
So it doesn't cost us anything. But there's a lot of things that we want to do that can't be funded.
What about the City of Melbourne? Do they ever help you?
Yes, we just received... We're holding a youth event in January during midsummer, which will include a forum in the afternoon and then a dance party similar to United We Dance, which we'll talk about later, in the evening for under 18s, and the City of Melbourne's given us a $5,000 grant for that.
The way you've been talking about what you're doing, it sounds a lot like it's a real partnership. Like everything you do to get funded, you have to partner up with organizations, and you know your founding was partnering up, bringing together, and that's such an excellent model for a community-based organization. Are there times when you do stuff on your own?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like the forum that we held back in November last year, which has been used as a catalyst then to present at other conferences, was a forum that we put together ourselves.
I saw the program for that. There's a real synergy. Shantan Chang, who started Orange Ribbon, was one of your keynote speakers.
Yeah, that's right. Shantan's been involved with the AGMC since it started, from the very first conference. We've had that forum was quite a success, and from that we've been invited to attend a number of other things as well, and we're currently looking at the feasibility of going to Wellington because it got accepted into their program as well. But
is that Gay Games, Out Games?
The Out Games, the Asia Pacific Out
Games. I know you're supposed to know the difference between the two. But
Yes. it's a more local event. but it's still, you know, it's a costly exercise to get out there.
Yeah.
And so it will depend on whether funding comes through for it or not.
Okay. What about you, Colin?
Yes.
What do you actually get yourself involved in? I know you're not on the committee.
But no, not on the committee. So I come in at selected times, for instance, with the upcoming United We Dance party is where I would step on board and get very active around that one event rather than become more active with AGMC and sort of, you know, try to get on the board and do those types of things. I leave that up to people like John and the other good people around him. So I'm really more of a just a one-off special events type of person.
United We Dance, which we were going to talk about, and this is the big thing that's coming up for you at the moment.
Yes. It certainly is.
How much work are you putting in? How much time?
Oh, a fair amount of time. You know, several months leading up to it, you've really got to, you know, be on the ball and start to organise all sorts of things, including, you know, all your performers and everything to do with the venue that you're going to use, and publicity as well is most important, and getting artwork done in time to meet deadlines. So there's a lot to put together for the night.
Yeah.
Is there a big army of people like you who come on for particular events?
You're looking at him.
An army of one.
Yes, it's an army of one. I get support, but it's basically it's an army of one.
Okay. We'll come back to Colin and John and talk about United We Dance very soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
And welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Hugh, Mark and me, Barb, and our guests, John and Colin from AGMC?
Correct.
Oh, yes. and can you tell us, John, a bit about that track?
I can tell you it's Stelio Sandonio that sang it.
Okay.
And the title of the track is Ola Halali.
Okay.
And I'm not going to translate that because I can't think of a word to translate it with.
I love it when other languages have concepts that we don't have.
That's
that you
right.
would need paragraphs and paragraphs to be able to
Needs
say
a whole
it.
Sentence.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Tell us, we played that music for a reason.
Yes, we did, because Stelios is going to be performing at United We Dance next Sunday night.
Okay.
So he'll be singing live.
Wow.
And isn't he the compere or something?
Yes,
as well?
He's a compere of the night or the MC of the night.
Right.
But as well as being MC, he'll be singing live.
Okay, so now, I've never actually heard of him. Is he big in Greece or
No, he's actually he's big in Australia. He's about to undertake an Australian tour all around the country, and he hopefully will make it overseas. Mm-hmm. In the not too distant future. So yeah. We wish him well for that. But he's just been signed up to do an Australia wide tour.
So okay. You're sort of the kickoff leg of the tour.
Yes, well, it could be the United We Dance is the number one stop on the tour.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It could be.
So you're fairly lucky to have him then.
Yeah. Now he's a very talented man and very, very big in the Greek community in terms of Greek popular singer.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we going to out him or is he just donating?
Don't need to do that.
I don't think you
Now, United We Dance.
Yes.
When is it?
It's next Sunday night and that will be our ninth year. Is that correct? Ninth year of putting this on.
Okay. What is it?
It's basically it's a dance party, but with a difference in that you don't hear the normal Madonna, Kylie, Lady Gaga type music. All the music has a multicultural flavour and background to it.
Okay,
and it's not only the music, but it's the performances on the night, because there's a very heavy influence on performances, which cover a wide range of nationalities and backgrounds.
Right.
So to perform at United We Dance, you have to have some type of multicultural background to your performance.
So what's the whole idea behind it?
The whole idea was basically it started back in 2002, I think, even before AGMC started. The groups got together and decided to put on an event to show our solidarity as multicultural people, especially given that at that time there was an Arab and gay group and there was a lot of discrimination against the Arab community.
Right.
So we decided to put the event together, the people then decided to put the event together, and at the same time, it's always raised money for charities. And up until last year, it's raised over $15,000.
Okay.
In the past, so
you give away $15,000.
We have
not in one lump sum.
No, over the last 8 years,
And why the decision about dance?
It's a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It's what Wogs like to do.
Do you break plates?
That's a Greek event.
That's usually a Greek event.
Yeah.
This is multicultural.
If you want to come, I'll break a plate for you.
But we've always given the proceeds away and shared it with other gay and lesbian community organisations that we feel could benefit from having a few extra dollars in their kitty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Joy's been one of those recipients in the past. And so has the VAC, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe you gave
PFLAG.
There's so many I can't remember anymore.
Not PFLAG. No. Pride March last year got over $3,000.
Okay.
I think the Rights Lobby. Did we get the Rights Lobby?
Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby has also received funding. The Out Games that were held in Melbourne.
The last Out Games, we gave money to them as well.
Okay.
There's quite a few organisations.
Yeah. Is there a grant process for organisations?
No,
to
we just pick one.
We put them in the hat and we pick them out. No, we don't. It's a bit of thought goes into it because if it's an organisation that has like a stack of money in the bank account, we're not going to be picking them someone who really needs the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this year we've chosen the Lesbian and Gay Archives because they do a fantastic job, but they do it on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And so we've chosen them as the recipients, as well as the newly formed Gay and Lesbian Foundation of Australia, to give them a bit of a kickstart.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the two organisations that will get the funds.
So basically, United We Dance is not for profit.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. There's no. Yeah, we basically give away everything we make.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, in a really nutshell, good. Yes.
So how much, just for the listener, because no doubt they're interested, how much do you think you'll be giving away this year?
Well, how many people come through the door?
It depends on how many people come through the door.
On average.
A few thousand dollars.
To give you an example, last year we gave away just over 3,000, and the year before it was about the same.
That's good. That's excellent.
depends on, and plus it depends on sponsors. We rely on our sponsors heavily to sort of cover the costs.
Right.
And if we get a decent amount of sponsors in,
it helps the result.
Are you still looking for sponsors? Do you need something out
there
that
maybe one
of our listeners?
Sponsors.
Anyone that wants to throw a bucket of money at us, we'll take it.
We'll take it. All right. It's a bit late to get into the advertising, but we'll always take it, of course.
Yep.
But organisations like Skinnovate have always supported us.
Yeah, they've been on board
every year.
So is Manhunt.
And Manhunt and The Market and a few other organisations.
And Joy, especially. We rely on Joy for in-kind sponsorship with promoting the event. It's very important to us.
Yeah, like coming on the show.
That's right.
Yep.
That's correct.
What's the age range who usually attend?
Oh, it's very wide.
Very wide. From 18
wide.
To 80. Probably.
18 to 80, basically.
Yeah.
Do you have to be 18?
Yes. It's a licensed venue.
It's a licensed venue.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're holding the under 18 one in January.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So what happens at the under 18 one? Is it similar to
it
this
will
one?
Be similar. We haven't finalized all the details.
Right.
But it will be very similar, and it will link in with the forum that's going to be held in the morning or in the afternoon.
So do you have guest DJs and
yes, we do.
Stuff?
We actually have two great DJs, both with multicultural backgrounds, and that's Proco and Jazz. And they performed for us last year and just kept the dance floor packed. So they've been invited back, and they just play a fantastic range of music.
I mean, you say it's multicultural. How many different nationalities actually take part in this?
Pick a number.
No.
Pick a number.
127.
You have the performance. The performers, obviously, that come from a specific cultural background.
Yeah.
But everyone that attends, you get every possible ethnicity, for lack of a better word, attending. And the Anglos are also invited, so it's open. It's open for everyone.
The performers basically are Greek, Italian, Turkish, Lebanese, Scottish. Asian, Scottish.
Do we have Scottish?
No, just a joke.
And since Mark's behind me, Welsh, and Bob's here, American.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to get up on stage, that's fine.
Do a number. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, maybe we could go up on stage and promote Orange Ribbon.
You could.
Yes.
Would we let you?
Remember that bucket of money I said? Yeah.
Remember, I've got the buttons for the mics here.
Yeah.
No, you've got a website.
We do, yes.
Do you know what your website?
Yes, unitedwedance.org.au.
Right.
It's that simple.
And all the information that everybody needs is there?
It's
definitely
there.
All there, or you can also go to the AGMC website, which is at agmc.org.au.
Okay.
And both will work.
So they'll lead into the other one. Well,
yes,
I hope you'll
right.
have a wonderful night on the night.
Thank you.
And I hope a lot of people turn up.
Indeed.
Yes, sir. They generally do.
It's
a good night. It's well established. They all know about it.
And it's for a good cause.
It's great cause.
Good causes. You've got two receptions.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well, John and Colin, thank you very much for coming into the studio today. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Joy 94.9, you're listening to Orange Ribbon. And that song was Amazing Grace by Boy George, believe it or not.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that's a new song for him. So, and it's got a bit of that sort of multicultural feel to it.
It did.
Yes.
Well, this is Orange Ribbon with Mark, Hugh and Barb, and we have another guest in the studio. Now, he's not that far from when he was on the show before, but it's Robert J. King, author, ex-English teacher, and you've just brought out your third book, Robert, haven't you?
Yes, that's right.
Now, the book is called Another Winter's Tale, Another Winter Tale or Winter's Tale, and it's basically based on someone who is gay but gets married and has children. Now, I read this book and haven't read all of your books. I got the impression this was maybe a little bit about you.
That's a fairly leading question, isn't it? I think all books are somewhat about my experiences, naturally, but it doesn't mean necessarily that it's my story totally. Certainly I know a lot about this subject personally and through other people that I've met. So I think probably it's true to say that I've drawn on my experiences and also what I've heard and talked to other people about.
The big question is that in my head when I was reading this book, should a gay man get married to a woman, have children, and then for it all to fall apart the way it did in the book, for example?
When you say should, you mean
should,
you mean morally, should they get married?
Well, always, in fact, because, I mean, it, in the book, for example, the character has a miserable life. The children suffered in one way or another, and the wife suffered, and she couldn't get it out of her head that this character had some relationships with men in the past. So my question is, I mean, why do people put themselves through this?
I think you have to understand that a lot of people in this situation put themselves through it because basically they don't really want to follow the alternative, whatever that is. And society does, you know, spend a lot of time telling us this is the way we should be. I mean, in the perfect Australian dream, of course, we need to be married, have two children, a car, a house, and a good job.
Just
and
I one think, car.
Well, these days probably two, yeah.
Yeah,
isn't,
right.
It, isn't it 2.3 children as well?
I think it's about two now.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. And a lot of men, I think, feel that if they've got that, they've made it in society.
Mm.
And I think in the book, that's basically what the main character strives for. And that forms a sort of, if you like, a cocoon for him to operate in, which admittedly is pretty fragile, but it is the emotional basis for his whole life.
Yeah.
Especially with children.
A few years back, this was a really hot topic when Brokeback Mountain came out. Had you already had the idea germinating in your head and then, say, the film, like, damn, that's my idea? Or was it a sort of cross-pollination of ideas?
Oh, this precedes Brokeback Mountain by a long way, I can assure you. Yeah.
Well, obviously the idea of doing it, but the idea to write the book about it for you.
Because,
you know, there's organizations all over the world of men and women who've married to, you know, who identify as bisexual, gay or lesbian, but have also been in heterosexual marriages.
Yeah, I think I have worked with a gay and married men's group back in the 80s, and I certainly saw a lot of families and situations similar to this one.
Yep.
The reason I wrote the book too was I don't recall having read a book that actually treats this subject. Oh, not many anyway.
Yeah, certainly
I could be wrong.
There's quite a number of non-fiction out there, The Secret Lives of Married Men and that kind of thing, but it's not novel. It's non-fiction and interviews and things.
Yeah, yeah. So I always wanted to write about it because I think it's a universal theme and I think people need to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hidden, particularly by the men. One of the things I did, and I think I mentioned this in the last program, was to operate with some friends a phone line where we contacted a lot of married men across Australia. Or they contacted us, basically, and told us their stories about being in a family, in a relationship. Some of those were very sad. And most of those men didn't want to get out of the relationship. They were sort of too scared to make that move. And it was, some of them were even on the verge of suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fairly tragic, really.
And is this sort of maybe a generational thing as well? Do you see that happening as much these days as maybe sort of 20 years ago?
I certainly think it was harder, you know, 20 years ago. It also depends where you came from, whether you came from a small country town I did, or whether you're coming from a city or whatever. I think it was probably a lot harder then.
It's also, thinking, this is the multicultural program, like it's much more common in non-Anglo communities that are much more traditional. There's still plenty of Greek Australians who are not comfortable being Greek and gay, so they're married, oftentimes a lesbian to a gay man, so that they have somebody to take home to their families.
Yeah.
And there's a big literature on Chinese gay couples and lesbian couples marrying each other so that they're all only children because it's China, and if they don't produce a child, then their own parents are so horrified with them.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to Robert's story very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Barb's Mark and... Oh, I don't know what happened there. Never mind.
A bit of extra music.
A little bit extra, yeah. Anyway, we are talking to Robert King, who has written his third book, and it's called Another Winter's Tale. And we've got two books to give away. Now, all you've got to do is call 1-300-JOY-949, and you can actually claim one of these books.
If Robert, you're a Joy member.
If you're a Joy member.
And haven't won in the last 2 weeks.
I was just going to say that.
Or you can email or SMS as well.
Yeah, but it's quicker if you phone. Grant's sitting on the desk, and I'm sure he's just waiting on you calling.
Yep.
Robert writes about every man, every woman, and everyday struggle and pain of life. And I've actually put here, and are the seeds of destruction also sown in us, or are we merely the straw in the winds of life's fortunes? Who wrote that, Robert?
I think it was made up. I don't think it's actually a quote.
No? Okay. I got this from the book, but I really enjoyed the book. So if you want a copy, call Grant now, and he's waiting to take your call.
Cool. And just before we get on, we've had a couple of messages in from listeners, so thanks very much for sending a message. Sue Ellen from Canterbury has called to say she enjoyed the show and tuned in last week and is tuning in again this week, so thanks again for listening, Sue Ellen. We also received a message from Grant at Kensington on the previous section saying, if Sakis Ruvas ever comes to Melbourne, he'll be there, and I'm sure you won't be alone on that.
There's something interesting about the first message.
Uh-huh.
It says, hi, Hugh.
Oh, I skipped over that bit.
Oh, yeah, I know you did. I thought I'd go back to that. Okay, thank you for the message.
Yes. So our contact details are 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
Okay. Let's go back to Robert's story. Now, Robert, this book talks about, as we said, someone who is gay but gets married and everything that happens during that marriage. And a lot of it's not happy. But going back to your story, because the two books you wrote previously are about you, and you did a similar thing, didn't you, in your life?
Yes. I mean, I was certainly in a situation where I didn't want to be gay. And I think if you look back, I did quite a few things to try to avoid being gay, such as going out with a lot of girls to start with, and in my early 20s I was so distressed about it, I went to a psychologist and had aversion therapy,
which wasn't very nice, was it?
No, and it didn't work, obviously.
Never does.
But I mean, you know, the whole notion that you actually have electric shocks through you when you're supposed to be looking erotically at men's photos and pictures, when you think about it, is a fairly crude sort of device. But back then, I mean, we're talking about in the late 60s, because homosexuality was still considered to be an illness or a psychological illness that could be cured,
right?
They were still doing it back then.
Did you actually believe that yourself?
I knew there was something wrong, and I was hoping that there was a cure, that I could actually do something about it. But, you know, I wasn't stupid. I was a teacher then. So I sort of also thought, well, you know, if this works, it's going to be a miracle. Mm. And I did it for 6 months and then stopped, because it didn't. I mean, it wasn't doing anything anyway.
It wasn't working.
No.
Was there a connection to religion that somehow led you to, this is wrong, this is evil, I have to get this out of me, or...?
Not at all. No. No, I wasn't religious. I wasn't brought up religious at all.
So no. It was just you wanted to live the life that all the people around about you were living?
Oh, look, I think it's fear of the unknown. I didn't know what it meant to be gay. Because I hadn't had much experience, I came from a small country town. I didn't know gay people. I hadn't met any, and there wasn't any literature around about it or anything at the time. Mm. So it was a bit of a mystery, but it was something that other people weren't doing.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I knew, they probably were.
You weren't the only one.
I suspect they were.
Yeah. But to me, it was just one of those things, you know, a big mystery. I don't want to do that. Yeah. I mean, that's not what people do. So
I suppose growing up, there's that pressure to be normal, whatever normal means.
Yeah, pressure to be normal. I guess that's true. Yeah.
So is that why you decided to get married?
I think so. I thought, well, to get married, I think, was something that I'd thought about, but it wasn't to escape being gay, because I didn't admit to being gay. Mm. I thought I could be bisexual, in which case I probably rationalised that I could be probably a good father and a good husband as well. Right. I told my ex-wife about it before we got married. And
do you think that was a wise decision?
I thought I was being honest and open, and I wanted to go into the marriage with not having any lies. And I told her as much as I knew, which at that stage wasn't a lot.
Because
the problem is she nagged me about it for 2 years afterwards.
Yeah. That was one of the things I was going to say, because she never really forgot about it, did she?
No, I don't think she ever let it go.
And it's the sort of thing probably that she'd find hard to do that, because it's like, well, are you together because of the love, or is it for other reasons sort of thing?
Look, it's really complicated. Yeah. I don't think it's a...
It's not going to be black and white here.
No, it's not.
And you could take it, like, depending on the perspective of the woman hearing it, you could take it really positively of, like, oh, my God, he's attracted to other men, but he's chosen me. And you could be really sort of bolstered in your relationship by it. So it's not a bad idea to be honest. It just, it didn't work out in this case, but it's not necessarily because of the honesty. It's because of how it was heard.
Yeah, but in a way it did work out, because... I have two wonderful children, you know, and I don't want it to sound as if it was all bad, like he was saying the whole book was full of misery and all this. Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, having children, I mean, there's so many gay people who would love to have children.
Yep.
And I think probably that was the most positive aspect of the whole thing.
And it is such a common story. Craig Horwood, who's the Australian judge of the UK Strictly Come Dancing, married at the age of 25, and that was only, you know, in the last decade and a half or so, because he didn't want to be gay. And he wound up divorcing 4 years later without children. But it is such a common story.
Yes.
Yeah. Writing the book, did it bring back a lot of the memories of your life?
Oh, yes, I think so. A lot of the people and the characters in the book, some are people who I actually knew, others are sort of people I've heard about or from other people's stories, you know.
Yes.
But I wanted to write about those people too, and put them and get them actually into print. For example, there's a mother in there that's sort of very similar to my mother. And I wanted to write about her story. She also died of leukemia at the time. So I think I wanted to say, well, it's not just being gay that's a problem. Other people have other problems as well that are probably just as bad.
One of the subjects you cover in your book as well is HIV or AIDS.
Yes.
And one of your friends actually died.
Yes.
And it's not really that sad, because you've put a bit of humour into it as well. But is that true, or was that made up? Really?
I wanted to write a story about him, because he was my best friend, and it is pretty true. Particularly when I had to actually give the speech at his funeral, and I found that probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do, to stand up in front of 300 people, and you know, the whole auditorium was lined up with family across the front. Guys in leather behind them. He was an academic, so they were also university lecturers. You know, it was quite a setting.
Yeah.
And to try to get the right note and the right tone into the eulogy was pretty difficult. So I tried to make it funny.
Yeah. I noticed also in the story, you spoke about the hospital, and it was actually quite funny, people smoking in the hospital.
Well, this is actually based on Fairfield, which a lot of people will remember. I used to visit my friend in Fairfield, and I found it a remarkable place. Mm. Some of the things I mentioned in the book were actually things that happened in Fairfield.
Right.
Can I just mention, we just received a message in from Andy, and he just said, just wondering which small country town your guest is from. I'm a gay man from the country who did the same thing. So which small town were you?
Oh, I'm from Berlin.
Andy, yeah. So Berlin. So, yes.
Okay. Let us know where you're from, Andy. Maybe meet up here.
Maybe we knew each other.
Maybe you're in the book.
If you're interested, there is quite a literature, both from the side of the gay or lesbian partner who's married, but there's also a recent book out, The Other Side of the Closet, looking at it from the straight partner's side. And mm-hmm. apparently about a third of these couples stay married, despite the fact that the one partner comes out and the other one decides to stay with them. About a third divorce right away, and the other third divorce after about 2 years. And so you said that it isn't all misery. For some couples, it works out just fine.
Do you want me to tell you some stories about that?
Do we have time here?
I don't know.
Yep, you've got time.
We very, very, when I went to GAMA, the Gay Married Men Association, I just sat there and listened, fascinated by stories mm-hmm. that people told me, like wives driving husbands to beats and waiting for them.
Wow.
Another one where the husband used to take his boyfriend home for the weekend, and the wife used to serve them best breakfast in bed.
Wow. So there are a lot of people out there who've made some
there are people out there
lovely choices. Things I couldn't do, but like, it's good on them. If their life happiness is about each other and taking care of each other, then they continue to do that.
I wonder if it happens the other way around. The straight man and the lesbian, and they're married. And
according to the author, yes, it's about a third in both directions. There are more gay men who get married, but there are lesbians who marry and stay married, about a third of them.
Right. Mm. Okay. Cool. Do you think it's because of the children, or
that she didn't give a good reason? Or any reason that I found in my quick perusal of the book.
So is there another book in your head, or is it? Have you started writing it?
I've finished the next book.
Oh, wow.
Prolific.
Another novel?
It's another novel. It's not in print or anything yet. Mm. It's just finished. It's a manuscript.
Okay.
At this stage.
Right. Okay, well,
just before we go, one more message. Steve messaged and say, this is my life you're talking about. Two kids, honesty with ex-wife. Good to hear we're not alone. So, again, thanks for messaging, Steve. And Andy was from Traralgon.
Okay. There you go. Well, thank you very much, Robert, for coming in once again and talking about another Winter's Tale. It's been a pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yes, I have very much. Thanks for having me again.
That's fine. Well, that's Orange Ribbon for another week. Our thanks to Colin and John, who are organising United We Dance. Robert King for another interesting chat. Our thanks to Grant on reception for helping us today. Thank you. And he's waving through the window here. Coming up next on Joy is Adam Taub with Bandcamp. So stay tuned for a great show with Adam. Thanks for joining us, Orange Ribbon, today. Orange Ribbon will be back again next week at 2 p.m. With our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. From Barb, Mark and myself, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.